Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docter and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
And wow, what a weekend of golf we have ahead of us at the second major championship of the year, the PGA. Tons of drama this week. You've got Xander Schauffele, who had a great chance to win at Quail Hollow. He's back in contention. He's leading going into the weekend. Hello, folks. I'm your host, Will Docter. And, of course, we have six-time major championship participant here with us. Charlie, how are you this morning? Great to be breaking down the second major of the year.
It's been incredible. We've had an incredible 3 days here in Houston. We got... In my area of the town, we have no communication, no Wi-Fi, no television, no electricity, and so
what a mess!
It is a mess in a city of you know, we got 700,000 people that don't have electricity. My heart goes out for all the old people in our city.
But Charlie, yes. Charlie, you managing it all right?
Yes, yes. Judy and I are doing okay. It's really unique how it affects one's personality and you know, how you feel about life. I mean, everything is so disrupted is just really incredible. And I must admit, younger people handle it better than older people.
But I wouldn't want to be in front of you when it starts raining and you're not able to pick up a 7-iron, you're not able to pick up the putter. You know, that's got to be frustrating, Charlie.
Well, it's just, yes, it is. It's you know, you get out of your routine, and it's life is hard, and my heart goes out to all the elderly people in our city that are going through no air conditioning, no electricity, and so. But we have a job to do. We talk about golf. It's Saturday morning of another major, the second major, the PGA, and lo and behold, it. Golf can really be exciting in many different ways, and as you know, a volunteer was struck by by a bus and was pronounced dead, and that just disrupted the whole 9 yards up there in Valhalla, and now we have a situation where the number one player in the world was in a.
He was rolling through the gate at yesterday morning at 6:01 a.m. Charlie, and the cop who was at the gate stopped him. It sounded like there was some change in direction after the PGA Championship worker was killed by a hotel shuttle there at 5 a.m. It was a mess, Charlie. After Scheffler. And we'll get into this. After Scheffler was arrested, you had players, you know, we talked to Cam Young and Will Zalatoris. They just went ahead and walked up to the course, Charlie. They didn't even want to deal with the traffic.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of different stories coming out. But yet, and the course is being played right now because yesterday's round wasn't finished. And so they got to finish the round this morning and make the cut, which looks like it's going to be one under. And start all over again. And I just heard a backstory, you might say, that Scotty won't have his caddy today because his caddy's daughter was graduating, I don't know if it's from high school,
Charlie, yes,
and,
sir.
And, you know, Scotty's philosophy is family first. And so he sent his caddy off to go to the graduation, which I think is just really a neat gesture by the number one player in the world, so he could enjoy that time of his life, and he'll probably come back Sunday. So there's so many different side stories to this championship. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Scotty, Ted Scott, his caddy, will return Sunday. And once again, Scheffler is just playing beautifully through these first two rounds under the circumstances. 67-66 for the Texas native. He's 9-under and only 3 back of Xander Schauffele heading into the weekend. We've seen him here time and time again. Looking forward to watching him over the weekend. You know, Scheffler himself didn't talk to media until after the second round, and he handled it all with just total class. And he first acknowledged Mr. John Mills, the worker and pedestrian that was struck and killed by a hotel shuttle yesterday morning at 5 a.m. Here was Scheffler on the Mills family and more about how he first approached the situation.
Yeah, first of all, you know, my sympathies go out to the family of Mr. Mills. I can't imagine what they're going through this morning. You know, one day he's heading to the golf course to watch a tournament, and a few moments later he's trying to cross the street, and now he's no longer with us. So I can't imagine what they're going through. My heart, you know, I feel for them. I'm sorry. My situation will get handled. It was just a chaotic situation and a big misunderstanding, and I can't comment on any of the specifics of it. So I feel like y'all are going to be disappointed, but can't comment on any specifics. But my situation will be handled. It was just a big misunderstanding. So if y'all got any questions about the golf today, I'm happy to answer them. But outside of that, I can't really get into what transpired outside of, you know, my heart goes out to the family.
And Charlie, it was dark, it was rainy, instructions flying everywhere. Clearly there had to have been a misunderstanding. There's no way Scheffler, you know, the police officer, you know, Officer Brian Gillis, he said that, you know, his uniform was slightly ruined. I can't even begin to imagine that Scheffler would come out of his, you know, kind of teddy bear-esque personality.
Well, plus he had no idea there had been a wreck, let alone somebody being killed, in that wreck, you might say.
Yeah.
And it just he was communicating with the PGA official, and the official was telling him how he could get to his next goal, which was get to the gym and warm up. If he had known that somebody had passed away and so on and so forth, it would have changed the situation completely. I mean, heck, we know what kind of person Scotty Scheffler is, and don't have to say any more about
it. No. And instead of warming up in the clubhouse and in the course gym at Valhalla, here's where he began his pre-round routine prior to his second round 66.
I don't really know. I feel like my head's still spinning. I can't really explain what happened this morning. I did spend some time stretching in a jail cell. That was a first for me. You know, that was part of my warm-up. I was just sitting there waiting, and, you know, I started going through my warm-up. I felt like there was a chance I may be able to still come out here and play. And so I started going through my routine. I tried to get my heart rate down as much as I could today. But like I said, you know, I still feel like my head's spinning a little bit. But, yeah, I was fortunate to be able to make it back out and play some golf today.
He can adapt anywhere, Charlie. He's that kind of champion.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, that is quite a story in itself. And not knowing what – I don't know if he knew that the tee times had been moved back already before the accident and because of the weather. And so there are so many unknown factors that go into this morning's, activities. We just have to wait after the championship is over with, and they'll sort this thing out.
He said he found out that his second round tee time was delayed because there was a small screen in the jail that had SportsCenter on, so he was watching himself being wheeled into the jail. So that's all a lot of fun. You know, it's going to be a great story to tell here in about 20 years. I know it's not the way you'd want to start your second round in a major, but nonetheless, Scheffler, number one, back in contention this weekend. Charlie, last week at the Wells Fargo, we saw Rory McIlroy kind of take the lights out of Xander Schauffele's attempt at his 8th PGA Tour win. He's back in the lead going into this weekend, 12-under, has a lead by one. What are your thoughts on Xander going into this weekend?
You know, he really impressed the heck out of me. after suffering through what he did last weekend to come back and shoot 62 at a major championship, one of the low rounds. He's got four different times he's shot 62 in major championships. So this guy has so perseverance, and that's what life's all about. You got to persevere through everything. And I hope to God that on Sunday, if he's got it anywhere close to the lead, that he wins and gets over the hump. Because he has an incredible game, an incredible swing, and he can handle about anything.
Xander made three pretty easy bogeys on the back nine at Quail Hollow last week. He just said his chipping let him down, and he feels like under pressure down the stretch of golf tournaments, it's the chipping that lets him down. Charlie, we've heard this week at Valhalla that they have now put Zoysia grass in. How the ball sits up, will that help him in that pressure-packed chipping situations this weekend?
Well, you know, once again, these players haven't played on Zoysia grass very much. You know, the courses are now going to that grass, cause especially in the Midwest, in Kentucky, the ball now will sit up instead of having the bluegrass or the bent, and it is good for chipping, but he still, you know, he hasn't practiced it enough because there's still some guys having trouble with it. It's kind of like having a brush, and the ball, you instead of brushing your hair this morning, put a golf ball on the brush, and you can see how it sits up in the air, and you can get a club underneath the golf ball. So, yes, to me, it is a better, easier chipping grass than regular bluegrass or bent or whatever you want to call it. It's not as tight.
John Rahm says it's some of the best fairways he's ever seen. Second-year standout Ludvig Åberg echoed the same lines. Charlie, one of your favorite PGA commentators, Paul McGinley, he said the course, it's looking a little too easy for his liking at a PGA this week.
Well, once again, it's because of the conditions and it's being soft. You know, they've had so much rain up there, and the golf course hasn't had a chance to dry out. And so the ball is sticking where it lands, and that makes the what they call the fairway area play much bigger because it doesn't bounce and then run off into the rough and get a bad lie. So they're probably playing lift clean in place. You know, it's just the conditions and no wind. So and the soft surfaces it sets up for. But there's a lot of guys that are not 12 under.
Right.
You know,
and
still playing very difficult.
And Charlie, they also took out, you know, when we saw Valhalla in 2000 for Tiger's win.
Yep.
When we saw Valhalla in 2014 for Rory's win, and even Mark Brooks in 1996, there was bluegrass rough around all of the bunkers and hazards.
Right.
That rough is no longer there. So I'm sure PGA of America wanted to see a little more rollout into those hazards and bunkers. They're not going to get that with a little bit of dampness. But as you said, I mean, yeah, leaders 12 under, but you know, you scroll down the leaderboard, a lot of guys struggled this week. Valhalla got a lot of guys' numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it's still 7,600 yards of golf course. That's probably playing close to 8,000 yards because of the no roll on all the par fours and par fives. And then the par threes play easier because, once again, the ball is going to hit where it lands. It won't roll out or it won't take the different ups and downs that a green has. And so the putts are a lot shorter. So you just got to go with it.
We have some incredible headlines to discuss. It's amazing how the best players in the world came in here in top form. Rory's won two times in a row going into this week with his win at the Zurich and his win at the Wells Fargo last week. He slowed down a little bit yesterday, even par round for him yesterday. He's in 22nd. Brooks Koepka's coming in here off a win at LIV Singapore. Scheffler's coming in here off, you know, a couple wins, and congratulations to him and Meredith on Meredith delivering baby Bennett. What a great piece of news for the Scheffler family. So we have a lot to get to here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We'll be right back here on ESPN Houston.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
Nice to be here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Charlie, great to see four-time PGA champion Tiger Woods teed up this week in Valhalla. He missed a cut, 72-77, seven over total. But he won this championship at Valhalla back in 2000, and I can't think of a better rewatchable golf tournament than Tiger's duel against Bob May in 2000.
Yes, that was really Tiger at his finest. He came back and he made so many good putts and shots under the heat, and he just told the story of being the greatest player to have ever lived, I think, in professional golf. And it's sad for me to see him do what he's doing now, thinking that he can compete playing once a month in major championships against the best players in the world. And I can't see him ever beating guys like Scheffler or Schauffele or, you know, these guys. So although it's fun to see, and this is the golf course where Jack Nicklaus has said his goodbye to a major championship, the PGA, and he actually played with Tiger. So sometimes, you know, the great athletes in the world hang on a little too long. I just think his body and what he's been through won't allow him to do what he mentally thinks he can do.
He finally, you know, he told Todd Lewis, Charlie, at the beginning of this season, Tiger told Todd that he was planning on playing once a month if everything goes well, which would mean, you know, 7 to 8 golf tournaments over the course of the year. His statements were different this week. It sounds like it's only going to be the majors and possibly Riviera moving forward, and we'll have to see. You know, that's all based on the health of his leg. But really, some great history at Valhalla with the fact that Tiger played with Jack in a practice round at Jack's last PGA in 2000. You look back further into history, and Gene Sarazen, when Gene Sarazen played his last PGA, a young Jack Nicklaus actually played a practice round with him. So,
well, I think he played in the tournament with Tiger, the first 36 holes.
Yeah, the first two rounds. It was, I have to get that exact pairing, who all played. It was Tiger, Jack Nicklaus, and Vijay Singh. That was the third, Charlie.
It was Payne Stewart. Wasn't that the year that Payne Stewart, you know, was he lost his life in the airplane accident? I think that had something to do with it. We'll check the records. But, history tells a great story, and golf is a great game, and everybody's wondering about golf being, you know, going slow because the TV ratings aren't what they should be. But I think they're getting good ratings today.
Well, one theory that I don't subscribe to is that whole the whole Scheffler nonsense yesterday morning was all for the ratings, to get people watching the PGA. I don't believe in that, Charlie.
No.
I think that's way out in left field.
Yep.
But nonetheless, the reason this is such an exciting golf tournament right now is this leaderboard. You know, you think about what Xander Schauffele has gone through over the last month. He's playing very well. You've got your share of younger names at the top, Sahith Theegala, Colin Morikawa. You know, everyone seems to have an opinion on Bryson DeChambeau. He's only going to be three back heading into the weekend. So it's going to be a really exciting weekend. You have Koepka up there, Brooks Koepka's up there, Scottie Scheffler's up there. So even though there's no Tiger, You know, still going to be a great weekend. We have some audio of Tiger Woods comparing the games of Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. It had to have been my favorite line from Tiger this week. Let's listen into that.
Obviously, with Scottie's, what he does through the golf ball and with his footwork, or you have Rory, who has arguably the best finish of a swing, you know, in golf. It looks like a statue, right? They're two totally different players. The commonality is, I think, is the focus. And when you're on the range and watching them hit golf balls, or listening to them hit golf balls, there's a different sound to it, because they just don't miss the middle of the face. And I think, obviously, Scottie's not as long as Rory, and he can't probably separate himself on a golf course like that with pure length. But his ball striking, the amount of greens he hits, he just wears you out that way. And then his amazing pair of hands around the greens. If he putts awful, then he finishes in top 10. He putts decent, he wins. He putts great, he runs away. He's just that good a ball striker and that good of an all-around player. And Rory, just the way he's able to take over a golf course and just overpower it. I kind of remember that back in when I was younger. It's been a while.
Golf doctor.
Kind of remember. You know, that's what Tiger did. Tiger, you know, took over the game, and he didn't win by one or two. He won by 15. Imagine winning the U.S. Open by 15 shots. I mean, that's just incredible at Pebble Beach. So, yes, Tiger's got a great advantage, and he knows both players, and he describes their games quite well. I mean, it's interesting that what he says. So, you know, we're going to see the remaining, you know, we got so much golf to see this year. So, but the two guys that I missed this week was Jon Rahm. He misses the cut. Here's somebody that was the top player and, you know, number one player in the world, and because he hasn't been playing a lot and he's not as sharp, he can't make the cut. Dustin Johnson was the same thing. He got off to a shaky start because he hadn't been playing. My hat's off to Mr. Gooch, who, you know, says a lot of things he probably shouldn't say. He made the cut.
Barely, Charlie. He made it on the number.
Yes.
At one under par. And, yeah, Jon Rahm, he was frustrated with the media before this week. He finished 45th at the Masters. Outside of that, it's actually been a pretty decent year for Rahm on LIV Golf Tour. He leads birdie average over on LIV, but the media just cannot seem to – if you ask the media, Charlie, his only result this year was the 45th place finish at the Masters, and Rahm was fired up about that in the pre-tournament presser.
You know, the scores don't lie. You know, that's one thing about golf. You post your score, and you know how you're doing, and you can compare yourself to other people. And like you said, his best finish is what? It's 45th at the Masters?
Correct. He's top 10'd it on the LIV Golf Tour pretty much every appearance this year. So he's played well on LIV, but in the one tournament that counted for the official world golf rankings in the Masters, he did not perform well. And it could be a lack of reps, Charlie. He might not be comfortable with that kind of Koepka, Dustin Johnson schedule.
Well, sure it is. It is. Repetition is – Tiger taught us that. Jack Nicklaus taught us that. You've got to be prepared if you're going to play at your at the top of your game and be sharp and hit those hard little chips and pitches and two irons off the fairway, you know, on par fives. So it's two different games, the LIV game and the PGA Tour. But, you know, the LIV game is coming to Houston. It's coming to the old scene of the Houston Shell Houston Open, Golf Club of Houston, and we'll be able to watch and see what this LIV game is all about.
Yeah, we'll be doing our show from there at Golf Club of Houston on Saturday, Charlie, and should be a good – I mean, as long as the temperatures stay down. I mean, Houston in June, it can get a little warm. Nonetheless – Should be a fun event to go and watch. You talk about the last, you know, five major champions, Brooks Koepka, obviously Jon Rahm still in that conversation, but should be a good week.
Be excellent, and it will be hot and humid in Houston, Texas in June, so everybody get ready.
As far as this leaderboard is concerned, Xander Schauffele leads the way at 12 under par at the PGA Championship at Valhalla. Colin Morikawa in second place at 11 under after rounds of 66-65. Morikawa, two-time major champion, got his mojo back earlier this year at the Zozo Championship. Sahith Theegala is a very fun young player who is in third place at 10 under par. Theegala, from California, of Indian descent, now resides in Houston, plays out of Champions in Blue Jack. He is only two back heading into the weekend at 10 under par. In a four-way tie for fourth is Bryson DeChambeau, Mark Hubbard, Scotty Scheffler, and Thomas Dietrich. DeChambeau still playing very well at major championships. He opens with 68-65. Mark Hubbard, a guy who lives in Houston now as well, he opens 65-68. And most impressively in that tied for fourth bunch, Scotty Scheffler, post-arrest yesterday morning, puts up a 5-under 66. Scheffler will have his chance for a third major this week at Valhalla. Charlie, on the other side, we are going to get to some Victor Hovland news. This was a guy who won the FedEx Cup Championship at the end of last year, and he was working with the great Joe Mayo last year, fired him at the end of last year. Now they're back together.
Well, they made up, and it's very evident that Victor needed his guidance. He was very, very, very spot on with his game. He finished fifth in the tour standings, I believe.
At the end of last year, he won the BMW Championship, won the Tour Championship, and then he took home the FedEx Cup title.
Yes, sir.
And through that time, he was working with the great Joe Mayo. Afterwards, they parted ways. He did not have a good start to this year, and now Victor Hovland, after rehiring Mayo last week, he's tied for eighth going into the weekend at the PGA. We'll talk about that on the other side. Here's some audio from Hovland. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Back after this.
ESPN 97.5.
Available in all states.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
Charlie Epps and Will Doctor here this morning, bringing you the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned on ESPN 97.5 Houston. Play is going to resume here in about 10 minutes at 8:40 Central Time. Play will resume. Round two will be finished up, and then round three will start its split. They'll do split tees for the start of round three between 11:17 a.m. and 1:40 p.m. We'll get you the latest on the tee times and what you need to expect for the golf today. But first, Charlie, how about a word from the great people over at Insperity?
Well, that is a fun topic for me to talk about, because Insperity is a company that is just so impressive on what it's been able to accomplish since 1986 when it was founded. And its philosophy is very simple. They want small businesses to succeed so communities can prosper. That's the way our country is made. Small businesses, thousands of them, millions of them all over our country. And so Insperity is an HR company, but it also has other talents that it can help small business with. So if you want to grow your business and you want to really get a good bang for your buck, give Insperity a call. Talk to their experts, their sales force, that they will analyze your business and they will come up with some recommendations. So HR is so important today, how we treat people, how we treat our customers. And I know the customers is really the person that drives our country, the people that work so hard and they spend their money on different things. But Insperity is a company you can trust. Insperity is a company that will help you. Log on to Insperity.com and always tell them Charlie Epps and Will Doctor sent you.
And it was great to see one of my favorite events at the Insperity Invitational this year was the John Daly long ball competition. There was qualifiers all over the country going into the week, and I think it was Saturday evening you could go head-to-head against John Daly in a long ball competition. Daly teed it up this week at the PGA Championship. After all the rain and the madness yesterday, Charlie, he just said, you know what, I'm out of here.
Yep.
I'm out of here. That's it.
But he was there, and yep. His victory way back when, 1993, when he won the PGA Champion as a sixth alternate, it shows you what happens in golf, that no matter who tees it up, everybody has a chance to win. And Daly has been a character on the PGA Tour. He won the British Open.
1995 over Constantino Rocca.
Rocca.
And how about that playoff, Charlie?
How about that? And I told John, because I played with him last week during the Insperity at Pro-Am, and I said, the golf guys were just messing with you, John. They wanted to see if you could handle a chip-in from the Valley of the Sin and go back into playoff and win a major championship, and John did. And he says, I don't want to do that again. He says, that was rough on my nerves.
I'm sure it hurt his stomach, because I don't think anyone watching that could have expected Rocca to chip that in now in 18. Had to have been one of the most, I mean, when you talk about all the great chip-ins under pressure in golf, Larry Mize, you know, Aoki, that was more of a hole out. But Rocca, you know, put up a great fight against Daly that year, 95 Open Championship. That 91 PGA was incredible too, Charlie. Yeah, he had to beat Bruce Litsky on Sunday. Great name there.
Bruce Litsky, what a great gentleman and what a great player. He went to University of Houston. He died way, way too young, but a well-respected individual off the golf course and one heck of a good golfer.
Yeah, died, and unfortunately lost Litsky April 2017 of glioblastoma. It was 2018, my apologies, but, 13-time PGA Tour winner, won seven times on the Champions Tour, had a 6-6 PGA Tour playoff record. Bruce Litsky, all the chutzpah in the world to win on the big stage. Charlie, a little bit about this leaderboard. Obviously, Xander Schauffele leads the way at 12-under. Will be interesting to see if his eighth PGA Tour win can come in the form of a major. One player that I wanted to get your thoughts on is Victor Hovland, the reigning FedEx Cup champion, and he's had a really tough start to this year after firing his coach Joe Mayo after the 2023 season. He rehired Mayo before this week, and now he's tied for eighth going into the weekend after rounds of 68 and 66. Here is Victor Hovland on reuniting with Joseph Mayo.
Yeah, he knows my swing really well, and he's really, really smart and just has a way of looking at my swing and kind of knowing what it is right away. And felt like I got some really good answers and was able to apply some of the feels right away, and I saw improvement right away. So, it's easy to keep going then.
Well, Charlie, he finished second at Oak Hill at the PGA last year. I think no one was expecting Hovland to contend going into this week. Clearly already seeing some great improvements with his trusty coach back on his team.
Oh, yes. It's an incredible turnaround real quick. But like he said, his coach knew him better than he knew himself. And coaches, I've been a coach, a teacher, and you can see things as the person is swinging that he can't see, and you try to communicate that to that individual, and then he turns that into a feel, and the proof's in the pudding, and I'm happy he made amends with his coach, and they're back together. And Victor, you know, when he won the Tour Championship last year, I mean, he was just incredibly sharp in every phase of the game. So he's going to get back in order.
If there is a player that Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele have been beaten by over the years, surprisingly, the name is Victor Hovland. He's beaten Scottie by a few strokes in both of his Hero World Challenge wins. You know, Victor's won twice at Tigers Tournament. Uh-huh. Victor beat Scottie by 2 last year at the BMW Championship, and then he beat Xander by 5 at the Tour Championship. So this is a dangerous player, Victor Hovland. Can really get it going, especially in majors. You know, he's contended a bunch, 4th at the 22 Open at St. Andrews, 7th at the 23 Masters. So we'll keep an eye on Victor. I think, Charlie, I just remembered my question. My apologies. Did you ever have any kind of, situation? And I know when you're so close to your student, these things can happen. Did you ever have a situation with Angel where the both of you just walked away for a little bit?
Not with Angel. One of my good students was Blaine McAllister, and a few times we didn't see eye to eye. And so I told him to grow up and come back when he was ready to learn. So, we had a good relationship. So it happens. It's just, two people get together. They have different ways of looking things, and sometimes you say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and it morphs into something really bigger than it really is. And you just got to, say, mea culpa, I apologize, and let's get back together.
That's the latest as far as Victor Hovland and the coaching perspective to that. You're listening to Charlie Epps, who has coached a player to 2 major championships, has a ton of PGA Tour wins as far as his students are concerned, and also played in 6 major titles, 6 major championships. Charlie, Xander Schauffele leading the way at 12-under. We saw a heartbreaking defeat for him last week at the Wells Fargo Championship as Rory, stormed in with a Sunday 65. Impressive play at Quail last Sunday.
Yes, very, very, very impressive. And once one of those good, great players gets the bit in their mouth, they won't spit it. And what Rory showed us was magnificent. And we think that should happen every week, but that's just one in a million, that round of golf that he played. But it's an Olympic year, and the defending, gold medal winner is Schauffele. So maybe, we're seeing something that is going to prepare him for Paris and play and win another gold medal. What do you think about that?
I think Xander, he needs to basically, I think as far as the Olympics, I think I'm currently looking up the Olympic qualification, Charlie. Does the United States take 2 or 4?
4.
They take 4. Yeah. Okay, and Xander is a top 4 American in the world right now.
Right.
So I think as long as he keeps playing well, I don't look at Xander as, someone who can't close, Charlie. I don't know how you look at his game, but it just seems like he misses a putt or two down the stretch. He gets beat by a Rory 65. It seems like Xander's someone who, at 30 years old and 7 PGA Tour wins, if he keeps knocking on the door, kind of like Mickelson in his 30s, the wins are going to come.
Yes, exactly right. And when you win one, you win two, and you win two, you win three. And that, once the doors open up for him, he'll do it. He's impressed me what he's done this week to bounce back from what he had happened to him last week to stay in the arena and produce a 62, the first round of the PGA record. He's got a lot of moxie.
He sure does. We'll answer more questions on the other side. Give you one PGA Championship pick rolling into the weekend. Obviously, I know Schauffele, Morikawa, DeChambeau, Scheffler, and Koepka. These are the marquee names in the top 10 on this leaderboard. But you also have to look into some of these younger talents. Sahith Theegala, you know, is in the mix. Thomas Dietrich from Belgium. I don't know if Dietrich can beat guys like Scheffler, DeChambeau, and Schauffele, but we'll break it down the other side. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference.
ESPN 97.5. The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
And moving day is underway at the second major championship of the year. That's right, ESPN Cable, Scott Van Pelt and David Duvall breaking down the latest. Those two, you know, maybe two of the best in the game right there, Scott Van Pelt, David Duvall. It's a shame Duvall, you know, Charlie, with NBC looking for a lead voice as far as the color commentator is concerned, amazing they don't give Duvall a shot at that position. So Brooks Koepka is the defending champion. He won at Oak Hill a year ago. He is 7-under, tied for 11th going into the weekend. He has a chance to do, you know, something extremely special. He's trying to win his fourth career PGA this week, and really trying to become the second player to win it back-to-back on two different occasions. Tiger won it in 99 and 2000 and then won the PGA. Tiger won the PGA in back-to-back fashion in 06 and 07 as well. I think a lot of people had Koepka to win the Masters. He did not. Very disappointing performance there. And here's what Brooks Koepka had to say about that.
Look, the whole goal. I think the embarrassment of Augusta kind of really kicked things into overdrive for me and really having to put my nose down and grind it out a little bit harder and, you know, having to look my team in the eye and apologize. So, I'm not looking to do that again.
So, Charlie, individual sport, have you ever heard of this thing where golfers are apologizing to their team?
Well, you know, he's an honest guy, you know, and he had a mea culpa. His team did a better job than he did playing. And just like yesterday, he had, you know, what, seven birdies and he had a double and, you know, so the driver of the car or the guy on the golf course makes all the decisions, and he starts making decisions that produce bogeys and double bogeys that he's not going to win. So I've seen that happen many times.
Koepka gonna have a great chance to win his fourth Wanamaker Trophy this weekend. Charlie, one thing we really didn't get too far into depth with is Rory McIlroy today. I mean, he's 5-under, pretty far back, 7 back heading into the weekend. But, you know, at Rory at a soft Valhalla, he could put together a 62 today and be right back in the mix. But I'm curious to get your take. I mean, you know, he's coming in here off 2 wins. He's coming in here off a divorce. The PGA Tour board doesn't want him. He's defending Jimmy Dunn. It seems like a lot going on for world number 2 Rory McIlroy.
It's true. There is. I mean, and that's life. I mean, everybody has a tendency to get overloaded, and it looks like our good friend, you know, Rory last week had no problem. This week, you know, you make a few bad swings at the wrong moment at a major, and you make a double bogey, and the double bogey leads, you know, to getting further and further behind. I can't see right now that this tournament is Xander Schauffele's tournament to win. If he can shoot 4-under on the weekend, and that's really doable for him, he's going to be at 16 under par. I don't see many people getting to 17 under par with what their scores are, you know, where they stand right now. Bryson DeChambeau, he's 9-under. He'd have to shoot 8-under to win on the weekend, and I don't think that's going to happen.
I think the course conditions, I'm watching live right now. A little overcast today, Charlie. It looks nice and soft. Looks like the rain has subsided. I think Xander's short game can really thrive around a place like Valhalla. He said he loves the Zoysia. The ball sits up a little bit more. He doesn't have to worry about grain around the greens. I think the only guy that Schauffele has to worry about sits three shots behind him, and that's Scottie Scheffler at 9 under par.
Yeah, well, what if he's smart, the only person he should worry about is what he's doing. Keep his mind on his game, and he gets the job done. They can't catch him.
You got to stay. And that's what he's going to be facing the next 2 days, Charlie, is how can you possibly just worry about your game instead of who's around you and the crowds and the pressure and, you know, the flight to the Today Show, you know, on Monday morning. How do you remove all that from your head?
Well, you have a good sports psychologist that trains you over and over and over, use his mentality that what he used to win the gold medal 4 years ago in Tokyo, I think it was. All of these guys train not only on the practice tee, but also with their sports psychologist, he or she, to get him in the right frame of mind, have the right thought. Their caddies play an important part in this 36 holes on the weekend. They've got to pick the right clubs, and they got to pick the distances, and they got to pick what to say at the right time. So there's a lot of moving parts, let's just say, to win a major championship.
And someone who's done that on two occasions at the PGA is Justin Thomas. He's at 6 under par, 69, 67 to open the week. He's going to be six back heading into the weekend. Charlie, this is a hometown event for him. It's kind of been overshadowed by the Rory news and Scheffler news. But Louisville, Kentucky, special place to Justin Thomas. I'm sure his dad, Mike, as far as, you know, the PGA professional story, I'm sure they're enjoying the week as well.
Oh, yeah. They've got a great relationship. And his grandfather was a golf professional in that area for many, many years. So that family is very, very beloved in golf in Kentucky. And his grandfather was a piece of work. He was the type of guy that, you know, he'd come to the Masters with overalls on. So he's quite a golf professional. And so, but the dark horse is Colin Morikawa. He's been working very hard. He won two majors real quick, and then he got on a lull, you might say, and maybe this could be his weekend also.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick as far as someone who knows what to do in that situation down the stretch on Sunday. I would have to go with Scheffler again. If Xander's not going to finish this tournament, I don't see, you know, we've seen everything been thrown at Scottie Scheffler. He still finds a way to win. I think that'd have to be my safe pick going into the weekend. Charlie, one last question before we get out of here, about 2 minutes. I got asked multiple times about the scheduling of the PGA Championship and where it is on the schedule. Do you like it here in May, or do you prefer it at the back end of the season?
I don't mind it in May. It's last year up at Oak Hills in Rochester, the Northern Country, it can produce great championships. You know, August in a lot of the cities, it's too hot, too muggy. So to close out the major season in England, I think is fine. So I think it's finding its a good spot on the calendar.
Yeah, and we're going to see the PGA come to Frisco here in Texas in a couple years. 2026, I believe, is the year. And when you have the PGA in May, in early May, Charlie, you allow these other southern venues to get into the mix.
Oh, yeah, you sure do. But, the spring weather, you know, we're experiencing incredible, rainy spring and electricity. And we'll have to wait and see what happens in May in northern
Charlie,
Texas.
Charlie, your pick is Xander or Colin Morikawa?
Xander.
He's going with Xander. I'm going with Scotty. Charlie, great show today. We'll catch up next Saturday to review the 106th PGA Championship.
Bye-bye, everybody.
ESPN 97.5.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.